trust in God? Do you trust Him this morning? Amen. Before we open God's Word, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before You, Lord, we ask this day as we open Your Word that You might make it come alive in each of our hearts and lives. Lord, my prayer is that they do not see me or hear me, but they hear You. May we open our eyes, open our ears, and hear and see what You would have for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the pastor's been doing The pastor's been doing a series on Toolbox of Faith. And so when he asked me to speak, he gave me this title. And he said, do whatever you want to with it. And in that toolbox of faith, he said, love God, love others. And that's where we're going to go with that this morning, Lord willing, and He directs in the way that we need to go. But also, I think the pastor, did you ever open a toolbox and pull out a tool and it was rusty? I don't know if you've ever done that. Women sometimes don't maybe open up toolboxes, but I know there's a lot of women here that do open up toolboxes and pull out it. Well, I believe the pastor opened up a toolbox and brought out a former pastor who may be a little rusty. But I really believe God has something for us, and we want to be mindful of Him and listen to Him today. Our scripture verse, although I'm going to be using several portions of scripture, and I'm going to probably eliminate some of them because I have many that pertain to what we want to talk about this morning. But our scripture verse that I picked out was John 13, verse 34 through 35. If you want to open your Bibles there, you may, and we'll read this. We will come back to this a little bit later. So John, my wife's not in here because I told her to look something up for me, and I told her my scripture verse was in Matthew, and it wasn't, and she had a fun time finding it. John 13, starting at verse 34, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So, out of the toolbox this morning of faith, I want to pull out this thing called love. And we're going to come from it from different angles of what love is, how God loves us, and what our response to that love is supposed to be. What is love? Is it a feeling? Some would say no, but there is feeling with love. We'll talk about that a little bit. With love comes feeling, but it's more than a feeling. Is it a decision? Yes. Love is a feeling. Love is a decision. Love is something that we act upon. It is an action. God said He demonstrated His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ laid down His life in love and died for you and me. He was willing to give up His Son. We're being Father's Day today. God gave up His Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But how He did that, He demonstrated it to us. So there is a action associated with that decision. My wife, when I met her, we were working together, and as we got to know each other, hey, here's the fuel slip, hey, here's this, here's that. As we got to know each other, we began to spark a conversation. And we got to know each other in a working situation. And I thought, you know, she's a pretty nice girl. Maybe we'll go out on a date. And she was receptive to that. And as we got to know each other, let me explain to you what transpires. Yeah, she's beautiful. But yet there was something about her. I still can't put my finger on it. But there is something about her that I was attracted to. Even more than her physical, there was something that I saw within her that spoke volumes to my heart. And as I began to know her over that course of time, I began to give and open my heart to her. And of course, then we started, you know, having feelings of oh, you're beautiful, you look great today. You know how that goes. For some of us, it might be a while. We don't remember that. I would encourage you, men, love your wives. Show them love. Express that love, okay? And you will get love back in return. It is an action. It is a decision that we make in our hearts, and it is an action by what we give and why we give to them. Well, God tells us that we should love him with all of our hearts and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. Why should we love God? Because he commands us? Because God says, you need to love me. Is that the reason we should love him? No, it is not the reason we should love him. He commands us to love him with all of our heart and with all of our strength. It is a command, but there's a reason why he commands us to do that. Faith and love are intertwined. Faith and love is an inward decision and an outward expression. You see, you decide who you're going to love. You decide who you're going to put your faith in. Okay? And when we put faith in people, we'll get to that in a little bit. Sometimes that's a little harder. But when we put our faith in God, we are putting in something that we do not see, we do not understand, and we wonder about it. But faith and love is an inward decision and an outward expression. God loved us so much that he was willing to send his son, to give his son to die for us. And when you think about that, somebody was willing to die for me. That's how much God loves us. If God loves us that much, do you think he cares about our individual lives and the day-to-day actions of our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. He cares when we're sick. He cares when we're going through financial needs. He cares when we're doing certain things in our lives or things that are going on in our lives that may hurt us or distract us. Do we deserve that love? Not at all. Look at the children of Israel. Great example, right? All God did was try to love them, try to protect them, try to help them. And what did they do? Continue to turn their back on them. Continue to walk away from them. Well, I'm sorry I'm taking these on and off, but when I look up, you're all way in that way when I'm looking through them. And it's hard for me to look out. And I've always hated people that have glasses like this. Just one of my pet peeves. But that's the way I'm going to have to do it, okay? And it's tough. But the children of Israel disobeyed him again and again and again and again and again, and still he loved them. Still he would take them to a place of safety. Think about it. He would take them to a place where they needed to go, and what did they do? Make idols. Turn their back on God. But God still loved them. Look at the prophets. Think about this one. The prophets. They've got God's hand upon them, God's seal upon them. You know the story of Elijah? If not, you ought to read it because it's a great story. I love this story. You know, Jezebel, you remember her? She was very wicked, and she believed in Baal. And she had her Baal prophets, and they thought they could do anything. And God instructed Elisha, to make a long story short, to go and challenge them, if you will, to a duel. Well, it wasn't quite like that, but it's the way I look at it. And so Elisha told the Baal prophets, come out, provide a sacrifice on an altar without fire, and call Baal down to cook the meat that was on the altar. Okay, so they came. All the prophets came. They came. They prayed. They prayed. They whipped themselves, if you read the scripture. They beat themselves. They were crying out to their God. They believed in this God, but nothing ever came. Then it's Elijah's turn, and he puts the sacrifice upon the altar. He digs a ditch around it, fills that with water, soaks the meat with water and the wood, and then he prays to God Almighty, and guess what happens? Fire from heaven. But here's the problem with Elijah. Elijah's a lot like us. He just saw the power of God. There is nothing that can scare him now, right? Until Jezebel got word of it and says, I'm going to see you the next time. I'm going to kill you the next time I see you. And what does he do? He runs. He runs and hides. I can take that off on another stand this morning. There is hope in that. Whenever we run from God, there's still hope. Because Elijah, or God finds Elijah, he ministers to him, he restores him, and he goes back. Look at Jonah. Jonah ran from God. He said, I'm going to those people. I'm not going to speak to those people. No. I know who they are. I'm not going to do it. He runs, God gets a hold of him, brings him back, restores him, and we know what happened. Throughout the Old Testament, you will look at prophets, you look at the children of Israel, and they disobeyed God, but yet God loved them so much that he came back and he would restore them. You hear that? God loved them so much that he would restore them. You understand this morning, God still believes in us. He never gives up on us. I can say, and I won't go there this morning, but there was a time in my life where I believed God gave up on me. I believed there was no God. Trust me. It was a hard and very dark time in my life. But God believes in us, and he never gives up on us, and he constantly is trying to show us we just constantly keep running. We have the New Testament. Look at the disciples. Look at all the things that God created, all the things, I mean, God did for the disciples. He showed them how he could heal people. He showed them how they could heal. He fed many, many people from just a couple fishes and loaves of bread. God did that for the disciples to be strong. But what happened when he was led away? They all went and hid. Peter didn't. Peter at least went to the courtyard. But what did he do? What did he do? Denied him. Three times. Jesus said, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. No, I won't, Lord. And we know Peter. He was a fighter. Peter was strong. But he denied him. He denied him three times, but yet God loved them. Jesus loved them so much that what did he do? The Bible says he built his church on Peter. He built the church on a failure. God loves us so much that he wants us to do certain things. Yes, he commands, but he wants us to do it out of a desire from our heart. Why should we love him? Simply because he loves us. Why do I want my wife to love me? Because I love her. I love her. And she shows that love. By the way I look at her, I know she loves me. You see, God wants us to love him, but he wants us to love him out of a life because of what he's done for us. I think of the young people we've heard about in the news, and who, when the gunman came into the school, walked right up to him and said, are you a Christian? I'll never forget this, reading the story, if you haven't heard the stories of that, because, you know, the media doesn't want us to know a lot of this stuff. But the gun came up to a young girl and said, are you a Christian? And she said, yes, I am. Bang, she was dead. If you just saw that, how would you react when they came to you next and said, are you a Christian? Because in our humanness, we are a self-preservation people. We want to preserve ourselves. Nobody wants to die. But the next person he went to, he said, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. What would we do? Is our love that strong when we were presented with that case scenario? Would we say, yes, I'm a Christian? Or would we say, well, you know. See, we love God. Why? Because he loved us. When I put my faith in Jesus and believed he could change my life, I didn't know Jesus. I heard about him and what he did, but I never met him. Have you? I saw people's lives change because they believed in him. I saw people who didn't have time for church or God, but began to want more of him. I saw people who put their faith in him begin loving rather than hate or envy. I saw marriages being healed and strengthened. I saw people being healed all because they believed in something they heard. And once I put my faith in him, oh, He became real, not just a story. When we put our faith in Christ, we begin to know what love is. And let me tell you what happens to that love. That love turns into a feeling. In our hearts, we make a conscious decision to love him, but on an outward opinion, we start to show that love. And there is a feeling, there is a motivation to love him because his spirit, as his word says, will bear witness with my spirit. I see people shaking their heads, so you know you've touched God and you know that he's spoken to you when you got saved. It's more than just, oh, I gave myself to him. No, there is a feeling. There is an emotion. He bears witness with our spirit that he has done the job and that our sins are forgiven and that we have life eternal. But then our faith begins to move us to the second part. This is even harder, to love others. Do you know people that it's very hard to like? I love it because it's true. It's true. I many times meet people I really have a hard time liking, let alone loving. And yet Jesus says that's what we're supposed to do. Really? Okay, I can love you. I know you got my back. But how do I love people who don't have my back? How do I love people that tear me down? How do I love people that says things behind my back? I can't even like them, Lord, let alone love them. But God requires us to love others as he loved us. We cannot understand love until we feel God's love in our hearts and our lives. And you can't understand it until you've experienced it. And you begin to start your walk with God. See, I think it's like this. It's a procession. Okay, so I've just asked God to come into my heart and life, forgive my sins. I'm going to live for him. You aren't going to love others right away. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen, okay? It is a procession. First of all, God's got to change my heart, change my life, change my thinking, and help me to understand that it is a decision that I make, that I am supposed to make, to love others because he loves me. And what he's doing in my heart and in my life, I can see it, I can feel it, and therefore, I must love others. That's a hard one, isn't it? It is a very hard one. Do you love from your mouth? Just words? I love you. No. See, you can go off, it's easy. I love you. I can go up to somebody and say, I love you. All right? But do you really love them? Do you really love them in your heart and your life, that if you've seen something going on in their life, you would help that situation even though you don't like them? But that's the ground. Isn't that what God wants us to do? Isn't that what he wants us to and how to love? Or do we love from our heart as God instructed us? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3 says this, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith, listen to this, and even if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And verse 13 says this, and now these three remaining, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. The hardest one, I think, contained within faith is our love for one another. The love that we need to carry. Because why? God told us to. Oh, it's more than that. It's because he loved us, he bore witness with us, he forgave us of our sins, and if you know him as your Lord and Savior this morning, he says, I want you to forgive others as I have forgiven you. Oh, that hurts. That's even harder yet. But that's what love is. That is what love is. So in your toolbox of faith, how do you love God? How do you really love him this morning? With all that is in you, or just when you feel it, or just in parts, or just on Sunday mornings? How do you love God? How do you love others? Take inventory. How do you love others? Now, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself, because I got to tell you, there's people in my life I really struggle with, okay? I think God understands that. Thank God for his grace and his mercy, because there's some people you just like to take and strangle. It is the way it is. But God says, love them. Love them in your actions. Love them if I saw that person in need. All right, you've heard this one probably many times. You're driving down the road. Oh, there they are. They got a flat tire. I'm going right on by. That's not love. God wants us to love, not only with our hearts, he wants us to love in action. And as Christ died, who was willing to lay down his life for us, do we just love by words, or do we love by actions? I hope that out of your toolbox of faith, when you pull that thing you think is love out, that it actually works. That tool of love actually works, that when that person sees that love, and they may be a hard nut to break loose, but you love them to the point to where that nut comes loose, and maybe they see Christ. Maybe they see the Lord that loves you and you love. Love the Lord with all your heart. Live that life with everything in you. That's what he instructs us to do. And live by the new command that Jesus set forth in John 13, 34 through 35. And I'll close with this morning. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know, listen to this if you're a Christian, that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Christ loved us, and he wants us to love the world as he loved us. If you don't know him this morning, then you don't know what love is. You might have an idea of what love is, and it isn't about a funny, gooshy feeling, okay? It's more than that. Love is a decision you make in your heart. It is a decision you make in your mind. It's a decision you make in your life. And from that love, or faith in God, or faith in people, you will begin to love as Christ wants us to. You really want to know what love is? If you don't know him here this morning, find him. Seek him. Ask him to come in your heart and life so that you can love him as he loved you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, oh, we thank you for your love. You loved us that so much that as we celebrate Father's Day, whether we have a son or a daughter or none at all, you were willing to give your son's life so that mankind, who has run from you, hid from you, does all kinds of things against you, to provide salvation so that they might have eternity and live with you. Thank you for that love. Help us to understand that love. Lord, if we do not understand what love is about, then we haven't found you. We don't know your heart. And for that person that does not know love, may they reach out to you. May you speak to their heart and say, come unto me, and I will show you how to love. For us, dear Lord, that have put our faith and our trust in thee, may our love continue to grow. May others, brothers and sisters, see our love for them. May the world out there that we really sometimes have a hard time loving or even liking, Lord, but yet may we go beyond our bounds and may we make that decision and put it into action that they see that we care about them, that we love them. And Lord, may it through that they may be restored into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray that your word has spoken to our hearts and has drawn us closer to thee. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.